Welcome to the podcast, Sis, I See You Too, a podcast exploring topics black women seldom talk about publicly. You'll hear it all here on Sis, I See You Too. Here are your hosts, Cookie and Sparkle.
Welcome to Sis, I See You Too, a podcast for black women, by black women, and the people who love them. I am Cookie, your co-host, and I'm in studio with my girl,
Sparkle.
And this podcast is brought to you by 103.9 WDKX. Well, I want to first start off with, what is colorism and the term describing the preference? Colorism has been defined as the privilege of light skin toned over dark skin tone. The stigma of colorism continues to produce discord, distrust, discrimination, and cultural disconnection between black and white individuals, as well as those within the black American family and community.
Ooh, that's a lot.
That's a lot, right? In other words, this is really about dark-skinned black people being treated differently and being stigmatized for dark skin. And the reason why we wanted to do this is someone made a comment that when they heard me over the air, they said I sounded like a dark-skinned, fat black woman. And I thought, what a way to describe a person, because I think that is as derogatory as you can get when it comes to one of the ways in describing someone.
I think that when people say things regarding skin tone and the way it was said to you, it was meant to be derogatory. Like, a dark-skinned black person is not a derogatory thing. Black is beautiful in all shades. But the way it was said to you was definitely meant to be derogatory.
I do think so, because when you were a kid, you heard someone, if they would say something like, "Ooh, you so black, you blue," or "You so dark, when the lights come out, nobody can see you," or "Smile so we can see you, you so black when you're in the dark." And all of those have been meant to be jokes. But when you are on the other end of that, I think it hits differently, because darkness and dark skin is devalued here.
Wow, when you said that, that like literally took me back to childhood. And I literally remember standing next to my dark skinned friend who would have things like that hurled at him all the time. And and I remember how hurt he would feel as people would say things like that. And I would just be like, what was the reason? What was the purpose? Why is his existence so problematic?
And I think it's because there's this idea that, you know, when we talk about this country, the United States, and its history with slavery, the darker you were, you worked in the fields. And the lighter you were, because you had been, if you were a woman and you had been raped by your owner, the slave master, you were producing lighter skin children. And these people were allowed to then be in the house because they had a closer proximity to whiteness.
Mm-hmm.
And that still goes on. And it's not just in this country. It is all over the world where black people and people of color exist, in the Latinx community, in the Philippines, in Asian culture, in East Indian culture, it still exists.
Proximity to whiteness, man.
So,
Cookie, I'm mad. I know like it happened a while ago, but like when you say it, like it feels like it happened today. Like that just triggered something in me, and I definitely didn't expect that. Like, I don't like that.
Well, you know what it is? I don't think people understand that, first of all, the words you say can do harm to someone. But then when you throw on the color aspect, and that makes it different. And I just want to be clear, you know, there's also this thing. There are some light-skinned black people, light-skinned, who don't like to be called yellow or red bone or all of these terms that in a lot of ways, while some people may think they're cute and endearing, it's offensive to them.
Right. My black is beautiful no matter what shade I am. You shouldn't have to identify me by the shade of my blackness. Like that, it's weird.
Yeah, but it's us though. It's so ingrained, and I can only speak for the black community and my experience in it. But it is so ingrained in our community that, you know, one of the first things people do when a baby is born, and I just found this out when I started having kids, that if you look at the ear,
mm-hmm.
or if you look at the fingers, the joints in the fingers, you can tell the complexion that the baby is going to eventually be. And there was a time when you were judged by how dark your skin was. There was the paper brown paper.
Brown paper bag test.
And then I just read something that said that in certain communities, you couldn't belong to certain groups. You had to be light enough for the blue in your veins to show through your skin.
Oh, Lord.
Take it in, Sparkle. Come on.
No, as you're saying this, I'm just thinking of the things in my head. I'm thinking of, what's the name of that movie? School Days. I'm thinking of School Days.
Mm-hmm.
And how it was a lighter skin crew versus the darker skin crew. And they had like one, maybe two dark skin girls in that light skin crew, but they appeared similar to the other girls in that crew. Like, yeah, they were dark, but they weren't darker than the other crew. Their hair right. was straight and pressed, and they had to carry themselves up to the standard of that particular crew of people.
And do you remember the controversy with the movie Straight Outta Compton? When they were doing the casting call, if I am correct, they were selecting girls who met a certain criteria. So if you were considered a girl A, that was those who were the hottest, the models. You must have real hair, no extensions, very classy looking, great body. You can be black, white, Asian, Hispanic, Middle Eastern, or mixed races, right? Mm-hmm. Girls B, these are the fine girls, long hair, natural, nice body, small waist, nice hips. You can be light skin. Beyonce is the prototype here. C girls, these are the African-American girls, medium to light skin with the weave. And the D girls, these are the African-American girls, poor, not in good shape, medium to dark skin tone. And that's how they were judging women to be in the video. And if you ever check out movies back then, right, from the 90s, 80s, it was always the dark-skinned people who lived in the ghetto. I mean, I know I'm stretching, right? And I'm sure somebody can find out. I'm not stretching.
Mm-mm. I just thought about what's the movie with Eddie Murphy? Coming to America.
Coming to America.
Look at Vanessa Calloway. Is that her name?
Yes, Vanessa Bell Calloway.
Yes, how beautiful that woman is.
And then
it was in that movie, and she was born and raised to be his bride, like his equal in the ways that she was supposed to be, and he chose a light skinned woman whose father didn't even like him until he found out he was rich.
And the thing is, remember when they told her, Vanessa, but in the movie, they told her to hop on one foot and bark.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually was making a mockery out of her because he wanted to, the premise was he wanted to come to America, but he picked the light-skinned girl.
Yep. Or what's the A Different World? Dwayne and Whitley. I love them. I love them. But I'm going to put on my psychology hat real quick.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at it all, and you look at her, and I believe the character's name was Keanu.
Yes.
And if you look at them education-wise, earning power-wise, all of those things, she was a better candidate than Whitley was. But he was so dead set on having this light-skinned woman. And I know this just is like the surface of us, all sorts of stuff beneath it. But when he had her, he didn't want her. He gets with Canoe, lets Whitney break up the relationship. They get engaged. He don't want her again. And then he comes to her wedding to the mayor. Was it the mayor? Was it
the senator? She was married to the senator.
And he gets her. But I'm thinking, like, poor Canoe, who was, like, highly educated, really sweet to him. His mother liked her, all of this stuff. She wasn't good enough.
Right. You know what, though? When you take that to real life, and let's say in the professional world, or back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, even the early 2000s, the models were light skin.
Mm-hmm.
There is research that says the lighter your skin is as a black person, the higher earning potential that you have. Mm-hmm. Because most black people, the darker you are, you work in service jobs. I'm not saying all, but the darker you are, you work in service jobs, environmental services, food service, airport baggage, anything that requires labor, maids, that's where you work because that is how you're seen. And if you are lighter skin, you have the opportunity to advance.
Which again falls into the structural racism that we have experienced but are also participating in.
Exactly. I think this whole thing is a big deal. It requires us to be
more cognizant.
Exactly. So we're both mothers. Has this ever been an issue with you and your daughter?
So Naya is lighter than me, just a little bit. And I don't think she realizes it. I don't like because I do my best to not bring that into my home. But I think the first time she realized like that color was different was my husband at the time. We were at home coloring. And I grabbed a crayon and I grabbed a dark brown one for him. I had the skin tone crayons, mm-hmm. right? Look at me being progressive. And she was like, that's the wrong shade, mommy. You got to use black for him. We're brown. He's black. And I was like, no, we're all black. Like, what do you mean? And then she started explaining to me like what one of her friends at school has shown her. And I was like, no, baby, that's not how that worked. Right. And I felt so bad for my at the time husband because he was clearly hurt. And I know growing up, like we grew up together as kids, as a darker skinned boy, he was oftentimes picked at. Even though he had really nice hair, looked really polished and well kempt, people would pick at him for being dark skinned.
Really?
And I always thought it was beautiful. I always thought like his complexion was beautiful. And I could see to her as I'm trying to explain this. And again, she wasn't being malicious. She was just repeating what she had learned from some kid at school that day. But that was the first time like she really acknowledged like there was a difference in our actual complexions.
Wow. Well, I know that my son, my oldest child, his father was lighter than I was. He came from a family where the mother was very light skinned, very light, and her son was not so, right? Mm. And we had a baby, and she did not believe that the baby was her sons until he was born. And when my son was born, he was so white that even I got scared. Because I was like, where was I? But the crazy part about it is every time one of the nurses brought him to me, they checked his arm, his ankle, my wrist to make sure we matched. And when you looked at him in the room full of babies, he looked like he was one of the white babies there. And the crazy thing about it is that I honestly believe that if he had been darker, she would have denied that that was her grandson. Mm. In this case, because that's just, you know, that's the era that she grew up in, you know.
Which is so weird because that's not how genetics work. But, you know, when I was born, and my dad and my mom will tell you this, and my dad, like, he's prideful about it. And my mom just like, no, it was funny. Uh-huh. I was born on Griffiths Air Force Base, and he came in to see me, and he's standing at the window with another dad. And they say, excuse me, sir, who are you here to see? And he said, baby Wells, that's my daughter. And they're looking at him. They're looking at me. Apparently, I was born and looked white. Mm-hmm. And they went and, like, got my mom and was like, hey, you know, this man is. And she's like, yes, that's my husband. That's her father. They could not believe that I was this black man's baby. Now, a couple of days later, I got some color to me. But, you know, they were just confused. But you should hear him telling that story. He's very proud of it, that I had looked like a white baby.
Really?
Yes. It's just interesting hearing that. Even like his dad is what we would call red. Mm-hmm. When I saw red, a picture of him, he had red hair, freckles, looks like a white man. Like, I legitimately was like, who is this white man? Why is he in this picture? Like, you know, I'm asking questions. They're like, oh, that's your grandpa. I'm like, no, this is a white man. And they're like, no, that's your grandpa. He's just really light skinned. And I, the next page over in the album is my uncle, who looks just like him. His daughter is darker than me. So it's just really interesting, and all beautiful people, how we all look in our family. Like, there's no real rhyme or reason. Like, we're all just a huge mix.
Right. And, you know, getting back to what is going on in Hollywood, think about the show Black-ish.
That show was stressful.
Yeah, but think about it. Now, we had... Anthony, what's his name?
Is it Mac? No, Anthony Mac is my guy. Sorry, wrong guy. Wrong Anthony. Sorry.
Well, they had the actor, Anthony, and we'll get his name. And then his wife was Tracy
Ellis Ross.
Ross. He's dark skin. She's very light skin. And that's how they chose who his wife was going to be. It was this point where, remember Martin and Gina?
Yep.
Martin, remember that. Dark skin. Gina, light skin.
That was a stressful show too. I don't watch it in good faith anymore. Anthony Anderson.
Anderson, right. He was dark skin. Tracy Ellen Ross was light skin. And then they did have the children be, you know,
very
mixed, shades, yes. Various shades, because that's what we produce, various shades of, you know, people in our family. You can have four kids and all of them be a different skin color.
Right.
Coming from the same parents. But Hollywood purposefully does that. Now, do you think that Regina King would have been cast as his wife, because they were an upper middle class? She was a lawyer, I believed. He worked in corporate America. Remember James in Florida? They were both dark skinned. They was from the ghettos of Chicago.
Yeah.
So this whole colorism thing has played.
Like, we've watched it play out and just not really.
But not really know it though.
Yes.
Like, we didn't realize, let me put it like this. I didn't realize what I was watching.
That right, it like was, yeah. When you think about Dwayne Wayne from A Different World, his mom was the great Patti LaBelle.
Right.
And she was typecast as this like ghetto mom who, you know, my little baby, my little chipmunk, you know.
Right.
She, you know, they lived in the hood. And this was the son's first, you know, chance to go to college and be something bigger. And then you had Whitley and Diane Carroll. And I don't remember the dad's name. My bad.
Mm-hmm.
Dad. But you know, they were elegant, they were upper class, and I love me some Diane Carroll. Like, you can't say nothing bad about my girl. I love her. But you just look at, like, that was just how people were cast. Lisa Bonet, you know, came from the Huxtable family, and she's this gorgeous daughter, and you know, like,
right,
they just, and when she left the show due to her pregnancy, they just replaced her with Whitney, because Whitney wasn't even the main character at that time.
That's right, she wasn't. But it's that idea that you have to have this light-skinned leading lady. And all of that has just, you know, just been throughout our whole history as Black people in this country. And like I said, you know, to other races and people of color, I know it happens in those communities.
So I had a friend who, like my sister, she was not Black, but she was a person of color.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember father's really light skin. Mom's a darker person, but not dark.
Right.
And I remember certain family members talking about how they were treated differently in the household because of the color of their skin. And I remember one day going to a family event with them. Like, I was like family. Wherever they went, they took me with them. And I remember pulling up and the family member was like, who is that? You know, asking if they had had a child and had been hiding her, like all sorts of crazy stuff was happening. Right.
Are you kidding?
Right. And I mean, the family member was downright rude to me. And my friend pulled me aside and was like, I'm so sorry. One, she thinks you're an outside child that my dad had.
No. Two,
you're darker skinned. She might be a little rude. And I was like, it's cool. You know, I can handle myself. No worries. So once she calmed down and found out I was not an outside child, she was really nice to me. But the one family member who had talked about colorism and how it had impacted him growing up was like, you going to be nice to her when you thought she was an outside child and she dark skinned? Like, he was mad because she was rude to him. And apparently this was a history with her because he was darker than some of the other children. And I just remember feeling so stuck, like that sense of relief, like, oh, she's not going to, you know, bully me or target me.
Right.
But then the pain of knowing, like, yo, you grew up like this, bro. Like, they really treated you different. Even though you are the biological child of this household, they treated you different. And they would make comments about his appearance during the summer when he would get darker.
Okay. My mouth is closed because I'm trying to be polite. I want to be really polite because I grew up in a household where everybody was a different skin color.
Mm-hmm.
But you better not call somebody out by color. My father was like, we are Black and proud, period. So it wasn't this, my sister is lighter skinned than me. My brothers are darker than me. We better not be caught calling each other a name based on color. It was just, we weren't raised like that. So when I hear it, I'm always struck by it because it's not something.
See, and I didn't realize it was a colorism thing growing up. Like, I was an outside kid. Like, I'm outside from the time you will let me out there till the street lights come on. Like, I'm outside, like, rolling down hills. I was awful tomboy. I'm sorry, Mom. I know I gave you a hard time, but now that I'm adult, I get it. But, like, I would come in a house with, like, scars and scrapes and, like, just, and, you know, at the time, Black people didn't think we needed sunscreen or we would wear it and not wear it properly. So I would come in and I would be dark. And people would be like, oh, my gosh, she getting so dark. Or, like, they would freak out about the scabs on me, like, how dark they had gotten. And I got to put cocoa butter on and Vaseline. And I got to, like, you know, I'm thinking they cared because I messed up my skin. I'm a girl. But they were caring because I was getting dark. And apparently that wasn't a good thing.
Well, you do know that the beauty industry has made millions of dollars.
They got some of my money. Creams. Oh, no, not for the bleaching creams, but Ambi. It was Ambi.
Ambi.
I can't stand the smell of it.
Well, they made, there was tons of money on it made for anybody who was darker skin. So you could become lighter.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and there were women all over the world, all variety of women of color from the from Asian women, Japanese and Chinese women. And if, even if you go on social media, you'll see them, you know, some women put, you want to highlight your skin so that it looks lighter than what you really are.
I got the perfect example for
what
you.
What is it?
So this is happening in real time today. The TikToker, I know I roll TikTok, her name is Pinky Doll. She was doing this TikTok thing where she would like act like she was AI and, you know, she's popping popcorn on a flat iron.
Mm-hmm.
She was using a filter that made her look significantly lighter than she is. And she's racking up the TikTok views. People love the ASMR. They love the popcorn. They love, you know, the gestures and her talking back to them, right? I'm talking millions of views.
Really?
She got a live invitation to a red carpet. I don't remember what the event was. But when I tell you the internet was ablaze to see she was a darker skinned black woman than what the filter had her appearing online. She knew about colorism. She knew about the market. She knew how to use it. I'm not shading her for that.
She exploited, it for her benefit.
Yes. When I tell you people were just ablaze, the internet was on fire. Like, wow. Like, some people was like, good for her exploiting what, you know, is exploiting us. Other people, how dare she lie to us like that? And other people were just shocked.
Did it change the number of?
It seemed like it did for a while, like there was a huge decrease, but it seems like she's creeping back up there. I think now that the initial shock has worn off, right. But it was crazy to see, like, and I'm not even mad at her. Like, some people are mad. I'm like, no, if they're going to, if you knew that you could exploit this filter to get your bank and get your coin and have some stability, sis, I'm all for it. She's right. Not hurting anyone. She's not intentionally playing into colorism, but she knew that the state of the world was going to take her in better as a lighter skinned black woman.
Lighter skinned black. Yeah. And that's true. Well, you know what? I think that this is a topic that we really need to continue having conversations about, because we hurt ourselves. You know, we hurt ourselves, our culture, our children, our just our own history by putting this thing on that the color. Well, let me say it like this. This country brought us here as slaves and then determined that the closer you are to whiteness, the better you were.
Yep.
Period. And I think that that has just perpetuated us throughout our history. And it continues. And like I said before, this is just not a black people, black American thing. It is in anywhere there are people of different skin tones, there's colorism.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to offer our listeners the opportunity to read a couple of books if they're interested. The first book is The Skin I'm In by Sharon G. Flake. She tells her story about her life experiences as being a black woman in this country. And then The Racism of People Who Love You. This is an essay on mixed race belonging. So those are a couple. And one last book is Colorism, Investigating a Global Phenomenon. And this book was written by two PhDs, Kamala Marie Woodson and Tuzango Darrow Rowe. So check it out. Any last words?
Yes, please check out our Instagram page, sisicu2, WDKX, and please feel free to email us any comments or questions. And Cookie be on the radio on Saturday. Call her up and tell her about what you heard.
I would love that. We want to thank you for listening to Sis I See You 2 on 103.9 WDKX.